Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Ladies and gents, welcome back once again. All things covered. Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden, another outstanding, entertaining, jam-packed show for you all to enjoy. Ladies and gents, yes, sir, it's a great day to be alive. And it's a great day to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, right? This episode, there's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to talk about. We're going to recap a wild win for the Pittsburgh Steelers against a divisional rival in the Baltimore Ravens. Of course, with that being said, it is the bye week. So we will preview the bye week, kind of get an insight about, you know, what is in at what's going to happen for the guys during this bye week and then around the league. So there's a lot to definitely talk about. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss. Pat P, Ravens recap the Pittsburgh Steelers home game against the rival in the Baltimore Ravens. The Pittsburgh Steelers took care of their business 17-10. All right. Every week I do a prediction. And if you guys haven't really been following my predictions, I've been very, very close. Real good at predicting the score. My prediction was Pittsburgh win 19-14, right? I was close, 17-10 in favor of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the main thing that I was right about, Pat P, predicting the Steelers to win that ball game.
Most
important. That's the most important thing, right? Steelers improved to 3-1 in the last four games against the Ravens when trailing by double digits. They were down by double digits in that ball game this past Sunday. Pat P, man, we heard Mike Tomlin shout out to you on the way to the locker room. Welcome to the Steelers Ravens, baby. What were your overall impressions about the game Sunday? Just the mindset going into the ball game, and did it live up to all the hype?
Well, obviously, you know, being a fan of just football in general and having an opportunity to watch this rivalry go on for so many years as a kid, while I'm in the league, but to finally be a part of it, it was breathtaking, and it was everything that I watched over the years. We knew it was going to be a close game. We knew it was going to eventually come down to what defense can make the most splash plays when we needed them. And who can come up with the costly stops towards the end of the game. You know, I feel like the first half of the game, although they didn't have many points to show for it, but they had, we felt like they had a little groove going on. I mean, we did a good job of trying to tame those guys for the most part. Then we just came back in the second half with some minor adjustments and tighten up, you know, overall, not giving up another point coming out of halftime. So, you know, that game was everything that I thought it would be, everything that I saw over the years, and just a ton of energy, a ton of passion. The crowd was amazing. It was just unbelievable. It was an outstanding Sunday if you was in that stadium, for sure.
Oh, I can bet. I can imagine. You know, watching this ball game, and I kind of gave an insight on what I thought I would see defensively, just seeing how good TJ Watt has been against the Baltimore Ravens, specifically speaking against Lamar Jackson. But how did the defense, you know, you guys cause frustration for Lamar Jackson throughout the day? His overall record, he's 1-3 against the Pittsburgh Steelers, 4 total touchdowns, 10 turnovers in his career in 4 games against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, the coach put up a stat against, you know, all of his turnovers and the sacks that he's taken since he's been playing as a Baltimore Raven and as he's been on the team and his record, as he's been a quarterback and things like that. But what was stunning to me, and obviously I know that Lamar, you know, get dinged up every now and well, at least the last two seasons he was a little banged up. But I didn't know he only played against Pittsburgh Steelers three times leading to this game.
You know, so Sunday was his fourth time.
I know, so that was very shocking to me when Coach put that stat up. So, but I mean, we all know what Lamar can do and what he's capable of. You know, we just got the better end of him Sunday, and it looks like, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers defense and, you know, Coach Mike T know how to game plan against him.
Yeah, and most importantly, 90. TJ Watt, I've been telling people since day one, two quarterbacks that hate TJ Watt in the division, Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. Anytime he play against those guys, man, boy, he put up numbers and he's always around the ball. Every time something good happens for our defense, man, 90 is there. You don't usually say this about a defender, but I think it's safe to say that TJ Watt is not only our most valuable player, but he is the most important player.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it.
And you don't usually say that about a non-quarterback, but that's just who 90 is. So, you know, shouts out to TJ and rest of the defense. Y'all was blowing y'all back up, you know, in critical moments until the offense kind of jump started and got things going. Man, y'all blowed y'all back up, boy, forcing turnovers, sacking, being in coverage where you needed to be. And that's what Steeler football is about, because, you know, it's going to take all 22 guys, you know what I mean? And that's what we saw, especially in the fourth quarter when everything kind of came together and it worked perfectly. You know, heading to that ball game, you caught some headlines for something you said about Zay Flowers in regards to being a little munchkin. But what people don't understand, it was more of a compliment. It was more complimenting him than anything. And of course, people took that and ran with it. Clearly, he wasn't trying to disrespect the guy. Number one, he's a Florida guy. He's a Broward County guy. Heck of a football player, by the way. But in regards to seeing how the media, just not necessarily the media, but folks kind of took that one thing and ran with it, what were your thought process on that?
Man, I'm not even worried about it because, you know, when I said I kind of knew somebody was going to take it the wrong way. But if you go back and listen to the entire interview, I said Zay Flowers is the number one receiver for the Baltimore Ravens.
Which he is.
You can tell. And I think I said that's high praise for a rookie guy coming into, you know, coming into this, you know, into this league and already establishing himself as a number one receiver. I say he's not only, you know, just a guy that's going to run the screens. He's a guy that's run the deep ball. They run the reverses with him, which they do. I say it's going to be fun trying to keep my eye out on that little munchkin because he's everywhere.
Yeah.
What munchkin mean from Florida is like, when you say munch, like, that's a little badass right there, man. Like, that, like, you got to watch out for him. Like,
he undersized, but he big sized, though. He's a big guy.
No doubt about it. The crazy thing about it, when we was in the game, he was like, man, he said, I already know what it is, man. I ain't take that as no disrespect, man. It's all love. Because he already knew what it was. But that's the media. I guess that's the media job. You know, I know someday I will be in that role. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it was no shade towards him. I wasn't disrespecting him. At least I thought with him being a Florida guy, he understood exactly where I was coming from.
Yeah, no doubt. And like you said, he is a number one. He's undersized, but he plays big. He's a valuable guy. He reminds me a lot of Santana Moss a little bit. You know what I mean? Shifty, quick, fast.
Yeah, very shifty, man. He's special, man. He's going to be special for sure.
Oh, no question. No question. Like you said, man, he's a guy that can play football. That's the most important thing. He's a football player. You played in, 90% of the snaps, but in the fourth quarter, we saw more of a little rotational type feel in the secondary. What was your reaction to that, knowing that you've always been a guy who's always been in the midst of ball games, rep in and rep out, especially close games? You know, what was your mindset and how was that communicated?
Man, you know, it was another day in the office. You know, at the end of the day, we all know that Joey has to be on the field at some point. Mm-hmm. that ain't no secret. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's a very, very long season, and we all in this thing together. Yeah. You know what I mean? At some point, the young fella has to grow up. you know, and I'd rather it be early than late. You know,
question.
I mean? Get his feet wet. So when we, you know, Lord's willing, when we do make that run, he won't be blanking. He'll just step in there and be ready to roll, just as he did Sunday, and coming up with a huge interception to help us win that ball game. But man, I'm in the stage of my career, Mac. You know, I want to do obviously whatever is best to help the team, but I also, you know, want to continue putting good tape out there. But I also understand, you know, the situation that we're in as a defensive back room. Like, I've been in this game for a very, very long time. And
yeah,
you draft a guy this high, you ain't drafting to sit him on, have him on the sideline.
Especially if he can play. Now, one thing, if he ain't really ready to play, then you gotta keep the training wheels on him. But clearly, as you mentioned, man, the young kid is growing. He's understanding what he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. He is where he needs to be. And it's only a matter of time. The thing is, like you mentioned, that's the thing that most people need to understand and know and respect from a guy like yourself. There's no hate ever, ever involved in what you do and who you are as a player. And you understand the game and understand the business side. It's a long season. At some point in time, everybody's going to have to be willing to put their hand in the pile to do what it takes.
Think about this as well. Like, I'm 13 years in. I played every snap up to this season. We've been averaging 75 snaps a game. Like, that's...
That's college. That's like college.
You know what I mean?
Right,
so, you know what I mean? At some point, like, I'm not that, you know, young whippersnapper anymore. You know what I mean? I just want to still be able to play some quality football and also help these young guys be able to, you know, mature their game and be able to be in a position to where they can be able to play as long as they want to play.
No question. And that's the thing. See, that's what I learned early on when I got drafted to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I came in as a second round pick. And, you know, we had older guys like Willie Williams, Ike Taylor, Deshae Townsend, guys who were already involved in the program, right? And instantly when I come in as a second rounder, I'm trying to find a way to get reps. Ultimately, I want to become a starter at some point, but I'm trying to find ways to get reps. Those guys never really shunned me. They never really turned their back on me. They all were open books for me on off the football field, helping me learn and helping me grow to become a player. Because as you mentioned, they were like, at some point in time, boy, you're gonna have to step, you're gonna have to be ready for us. Injuries happen. You know what I mean? Things happen in the flow of the games where we're gonna have to hand the baton to you, and you got to be ready to deliver the goods. And I really appreciate that, because having friends around the NFL, there are a lot of guys, older guys, when you come in and play the same position, they see you as a threat and they don't want to help. Right. And good teams don't have selfish people in the locker room. Good teams have guys that are selfless. They don't mind helping, because when one person make a play, we all make a play. And I'm so happy to hear the thought process going into that, even though I already know how you rock and roll. And number two, you've been rocking with JP Jr. since day one, being a mentor. Right. And clearly some of the things that you have been giving him has paid off, because that big time interception in the fourth quarter, man, was huge. Playing against a savvy vet and Odell, you know, patient at the line of scrimmage, man. What was your feeling knowing that they were right there on the cusp of putting points on the scoreboard and then needing to play, somebody got to make a play, and it was JP Jr.?
Man, it's crazy that you say that, because, man, going into that, I don't know if Coach was doing this when you was with him, but, man, we go through seven shots almost every single day. And it's basically the ball's at the two-yard line. The offense got seven plays.
The score.
To try to score as many times as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went on the field, I kid you not, guys was like, all right, seven-shot football. You know, because we're used to that. That's what we literally do, seven shots every single day. You know what I mean? So to prepare us for those moments, because we already know in AFC North, ball game's going to come down to the wire. You have to be able to keep guys out of the end zone within the five-yard line, or be able to score within the five-yard line. You know, so when we ran out on the field, it was like, all right, seven-shot football. Who going to make the play? Basically, you know, looking at each other, who going to make the play?
Yes.
Lo and behold, you know, the young fella went out there and made the play. And we've seen Joey make that play a number of times in seven-shot drills. You know, so we wasn't surprised. I didn't know who picked the ball off, because I was on the opposite side of the field. I had to guard an out route.
Yeah.
I just heard the crowd ignite. I knew it wasn't for them, because they didn't have, you know, many fans there. So I was all right, I know something good happened. I just don't know what happened.
The jumbo. And clearly, you know, something good for y'all because teammate, the crowd ain't going crazy if they
exactly. So I'm looking at the jumbotron. I say, "Oh, Shorty got a pick!"
Yeah,
and I just went over there. He was so excited; he was just celebrating with everybody. I had to wait till we got to the sideline, but I was just so so happy for him because, like I said, we worked that drill so much, and I've seen him make that play. Routinely and practice so much, so I wasn't surprised at all. But as I always tell him, man, you never know when your number's going to get called.
Yep.
But you have to make sure that you're ready. And this even goes back to when we used to talk about guys in Minnesota. Like I tell young guys all the time, man, you might be complaining about your playing time now. You might not be getting your reps now, but make sure when you do get your reps, make the most of it so you can gain more reps.
No question. And it builds confidence. And, so,
that was very, very nice to see Joey make that play in that moment in the game to eventually help us win that ball game.
Man, that was huge. That was huge. And I can remember, you know, going back to training camp in Latrobe when we had opportunity to talk, me and you talked to Mike Tomlin, and he said one of his favorite Mike Tomlinisms, make routine plays routinely.
Yep.
Make routine plays routinely, man. And that was a routine play. You know what I mean? Being where you need to be and just catching the football and getting the defense off the field, not allowing any points, man. And that was one of the game monumental defining moments, I think, for you guys and leading to a huge win. Transition to another, you know, group of young guys, man, pair of young guys. Kenny Pickett, George Pickens, man. That touchdown pass was pretty dead on the money. From a defender perspective, Pat P, you've covered a lot of people. You've covered a lot of routes. What can a defender do? Marlon Humphrey, you know, savvy vet, one of the best to do it in the National Football League, singled up one-on-one. It wasn't like it was bad coverage, but just the ball placement and just being able to hit George Pickens in stride, man. What can a defender do in a situation like that?
Man, honestly, Marlon was in great position to, like, probably, like, the last 5 to 7 yards. And what GP did a great job of was stacking him. And as a defensive back, you never want to get stacked because now they have the ability to create even more separation with a little bit of a shove.
That's what I was about to say. Listen, I'm okay. It happened and it wasn't called. But as a defender, boy, them wide receivers, they always get away with that little quick And people might think it's not a big deal. Lie. Just go out and maybe and race someone and allow them to have a step on you, but then give you a quick shove and see what that does in regards to
you. You got to think about it too, Matt. Yeah. Like your feet, when you're running, at some point, both of your feet are not on the ground.
Exactly.
So that little nudge definitely throws you off a little bit.
And as good as these quarterbacks are, that little small space is all they need. And George Pickens, wide receivers do it all the time, and it's never called. But for us, it's a huge difference in being where you need to be to break it up or not. That little shove, man, and he did it simultaneously while in stride. And like I said, man, I'm happy it wasn't called. But just the defender in me is like, oh boy,
said the biggest thing was he allowed him to stack him probably the last 5 to 7 yards.
Yeah, great. But most importantly, the ball placement, man, that was...
Yeah, the ball placement was unbelievable. I mean, honestly, you know, that connection because, you know, if you go back and watch that game...
Anytime he was saying it up.
Huh?
I said anytime he was saying it up, he was going to.
Not only that, but he was never really throwing the over-the-shoulder fade. He kept throwing the back shoulder.
Back shoulder.
Next thing you know, he got the zero coverage, which I don't know why they was pressing the zero coverage anyway. Both corners in the nickelback was pressing. They was in zero coverage, meaning no safeties. They pretty much brought the kitchen sink and left those guys on the island in press coverage, which is almost unheard of, but lucky better for us than them.
No question.
And we got them. And we got them in the perfect call. And the crazy thing about that, too, I never forget, man, on Wednesday meeting, Coach said, when it's a dying moment, they will try to burn the house down.
Mm.
And you go back to that moment, I can't remember if it was third down, but it was a waiting moment to where I be damned. They tried to burn the house down.
They brought everybody.
And we caught them.
Yeah, you caught them. Man, that those are pivotal moments. And you talk about just hearing something and watching film and then actually living in the moment during a ball game. People don't understand how important the week of prep is. You know, just verbal information sometimes. And of course, visual information is in regards to what you see. So Mike Tomlin definitely was in his bag and knowing what was going to happen and actually happened. So that's what good coaches do, man. They study, they understand, they give you wisdom, give you the knowledge, and it's up to you to apply it on game day. Defensively, we already know Pat P90 gets the headlines. He's like Michael Jackson of the Jackson 5, right? Deserving so. But Alex Highsmith is playing at an all-pro level as well. What does it mean for the team defense to have those type of individuals, TJ and Alex Highsmith, you know, playing at the level that they're playing at? Because they benefit from each other so good. Usually one is sacking the quarterback, the other one's picking up the football, or vice versa. You know what I mean? We saw that with the Cleveland game. Then they relived the moment all over again against the Baltimore Ravens. But tell us a little bit about those two guys. And for you, Pat P, question, with you being in year 13, played a lot of football, been around a lot of defenders, is this the best duo of pass rushers you ever played with?
Oh, yeah, by far. By far. Just both guys coming off the edge. And like you said, playing at an all-pro level. By far. I mean, both of those guys got 4+ sacks in 5 games. Both of them got, you know, forced fumbles. Both of them got touchdowns.
Yeah, both of them do got touchdowns.
You know, so
think about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, you know, those guys are just unbelievable, and they play at a high level each, not only on Sundays, every day at practice.
Yeah.
The film room. You know, communicating while we're, you know, watching tape with as a defensive group. You know, just guys are just always in tune with the game and want to have that get better with everybody. You know what I mean? So these two guys are definitely by far the best pass rushing duo that I've been around, hands down.
And I played with some great pass rushers myself, just in Pittsburgh alone. You know, Clark Hagans, Joey Porter to start off. And then it went with Clark Hagans and James Harrison, and then James Harrison and Lamar Woodley. Yeah. So there were some hell raisers too. But what we're seeing right now with 90 and Highsmith, man, they keep going in the direction they're going. And that's the thing with Highsmith. He's not getting a lot of the attention because we're getting the headlines. People not really talking about him, but they should. You know what I mean? We talk about two of the best duo of pass rushers in the National Football League. You can't have a conversation without them two individuals involved. You say Heisman, how many sacks he got?
I want to say he got at least 4.
4? TJ got at least 4, right? TJ got 4?
Let me go see.
We got to get Eric. Yeah, TJ, I think they both got at least 4. And we talk about forced fumbles and touchdowns and recoveries. They both got all pro numbers in 5 weeks of play, clearly, and big game-changing plays too. That's the thing. Closers, you know, one of the best baseball closers, you know, I considered in the last few years was Aroldis Chapman. And whenever he stepped on the mound, boy, he was gonna seal the deal. We kind of got that same little thing.
He got 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 1 pick, 10 solo tackles.
It feels like it's more than 2. And TJ got 4. Yeah, TJ probably got like 4, something like that. Well,
let's see.
Hey, it TJ has 8 sacks?
Damn. No. Yes, he does.
Shoot. What? This man got 8 sacks in 5 games?
Yeah, 8 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 12 solos.
And a touchdown? And a recovery? Dang.
Yeah.
He's on pace for the single season record.
They keep
disrespecting this man.
He can get it.
Best defensive player in the league, man. When he's healthy, there's nobody better than him.
He can get it.
Yeah, when he's healthy. Shouts out to TJ Watt. Man, before we go to break, special teams was huge as well. Special teams, man. How big a role did special teams play for both sides, Pat P?
Man, they played a big...
They played what? What Kilbrew blocked that turned into a safety, and then Gunner fumbled, but you guys jumped back into the forefront and, you know, and stood up. But talk about that block punt that was huge, by the way.
Man, that block punt was huge. Like you said, that was big for us, just because the way the game was going, we needed a splash play at some moment. As a defense, we went out there saying this is our time to flip the field, to try to keep those guys down there, to try to get, you know, ball hand and grasp with Calvin, one of the more dynamic players on our team. And in lo and behold, we had a little special team ace and Miles Killebrew.
Killebrew.
Going out there making
your last name Killebrew, you got to be held on special teams.
Yeah, man. He go out there and make that splash play for us that we needed in such a pivotal moment in that game, man. And the good thing about it is to see all of the hard work, the behind the scenes study that he does on a day in and day out basis. Mm-hmm. And to see it all come together again, just like Joey. You know, I seen him make that play throughout training camp, spring training, OTAs. Same thing with Miles. I've seen him be a hell raiser when it's time for punt team or even punt return team to be called up throughout practice. You know, he's working on his craft, making sure he's where he needs to be, working on the little angles that he may need, because as you know, you got to be sharp if you're blocking a punt if you block a punt or a field goal attempt.
No questions.
Your angles and your steps got to be on point because it happens so quick. But I've seen him work timeless, on his craft, and to see that come through. We've seen it in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
He got a big time block against the Buffalo Bills, and here we go again, having a big time block for us against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, that was
set
huge.
Set us up to recapture the momentum in that game.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. The thing about this team, they're finding ways to win. You know, and it might not be the prettiest, it might not be the smoothest. The end results are all the same thing. Just trying to find a way to win. So, hey, it's a great way to ride into the bye week. We're going to take a break. When we come back, bye week evaluation. Also tap into around the league, see what's going on throughout the NFL. Is there any new Taylor Swift news? Stay tuned.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Pat P, bye week evaluation. First and foremost, what are your plans for the bye week? You know, what's the schedule like for you guys? Clearly, you know, you get an extra a few bonus days, as Coach Nike T like to call them. But what are your plans for the bye week?
Man, just relax, you know, get the body back, you know, close to 100% as possible. And get ready for this. What we got? We'll be in week five. That'd be week six. So 13, well, that's 12 more weeks into the season.
Mm-hmm.
Get the body ready to roll for this long, long 12-week season.
With some Thursday night games, too, by the way.
Yeah, and some Thursday night. Right, hell, we got a Thursday night game right after the Rams. So that's one of them out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. And when do you start prepping for the Rams? As you mentioned, the next opponent coming up after the bye week.
Probably next week. You know, you always, you know, at least the teams I've been on, you always want to take this time to, like you talked about, evaluate ourselves throughout, you know, however many games that we played, and want to, you know, hone in on the skills that we need to sharpen, you know, for the second half, you know, the back half, well, not the back half, the second half of the season, for the the second quarter of the season, for the most part moving forward. So just pretty much focusing on ourselves, focusing on what we can get better at, and moving forward, we'll probably get on the round sometime next week, you know, assuming.
And talking about focusing on yourself, two-part question for you. What can you improve on individually after the bye week? And where can the team improve? Where can you visualize improvement for the team after the bye week?
Me personally, I want to get better at my open field tackling. And probably just getting my my disguise game a little bit better in the third down game, especially when I'm inside, because as you see, I'm blitzing a little bit now. You know, so now I kind of have a, you know, I played a little bit of half, I played a little bit of man, played a little fire zone, you know, come out the edge a little bit. So now kind of like, you know, the package is kind of in now. So working on the disguise a little bit better, to try to confuse the quarterbacks. And as a team, I'll probably go with, you know, just finding ways to start better as start faster as a team, all phases. You know, not having, you know, defense play hard, well, not play hard, come out to a fiery start, and the offense not able to come off a compliment off that. Special teams, you know, hitting on all cylinders, but if the defense and the offense is clicking on all cylinders, we won't need any special teams, especially the punt unit, know, for the most part. You know, so honestly, just finding a way to play a complete game as a team, you know, be clicking on all cylinders as a team, and just finding a way, you know, because, you know, we want those, you know, that ball game last week, but there's still so much we could clean up and be better at. So just finding ways to just clean up the little mistakes that continue to show up on tape.
Yeah.
You know, so I believe those are two evaluation pieces I can go with as far as on the team and myself.
Yeah. And I'll say this as a fan perspective, you know, defensively, definitely tackling from all three levels needs to improve. Tackling, and just, you know, understanding, paying more attention to detail. And then offensively, just getting off to faster starts. Like, I'm waiting for that opening series where we can drive the length of the football field and put points on the scoreboard. Yep. That's what I'm waiting for my offense. Because usually we see these slow starts, three and out. Talk about playing football and trying to play in postseason play. You got to find a way to get off to fast starts and sustain that. And hopefully the surgence of production that we saw in the fourth quarter could transition to what we need to see after the bye week from our offense, and just throw to 14, and just continue to establish confidence as a passer in Kenny Pickett. And, you know, we should be okay, but we've had some ugly moments, but we're still atop of the division. That's the one bright spot. And I don't foresee us just continuing to have these ugly moments. You know what I mean? Eventually, everything's going to come together. All the pieces of the puzzle will be intact, and we're going to rock and roll. Talking about, you know, this team, we all had high hopes for this draft class, the rookie class. They've made some contributions so far. Obviously, with JP's junior interception on Sunday, Broderick Jones also made his first start. What do you think? What do you think we'll see from these young guys as the season continues to progress? And, oh, by the way, Broderick Jones played some pretty – I know you probably didn't see it, Pat P, but he played some pretty good football, man, making his first start, man, and living up to the billing so far.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is probably, you know, top to bottom, one of the better draft classes I've been around. You know, guys that came in and ready to play right now. Not having an opportunity to see Broderick this week, but last week I had an opportunity to watch him a little bit. I was so excited for him to get in there and make some plays. You know, obviously, like I talked about all the time, as young guys, you always got to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
But to see him and JP and Nick and who else, another young guy, not Calvin, but I'm trying to think.
Washington Darnell.
Darnell, you know, those mm-hmm. guys have a very Keanu, you know, mm-hmm. those guys have a significant role into this thing, man, into this role in training. And to see those guys gradually continuing to catch on to how, you know, to move about their day-to-day business, how to study for the next opponent, how to not only get the bad, you know, the bad plays, you know, out of your memory and trying to move on, but take mm-hmm. coaching. You understand? Taking coaching. Like, that's one of the main things I feel like this young society is lacking, being coachable.
Yeah. Yeah. And they all are coachable guys. And they all love the game of football. That's a top priority as well. Loving the game of football. And they see they have all of that in place as well. So, hey, man, this is a great opportunity. You want to always go in the bye week above 500. You want to go in the bye week sitting atop your division. You want to go in the bye week just winning your most recent ball game. You guys are able to do that. So everybody should be happy, you know, get some rest, get healthy, and jump back and get ready to go. We're going to take a quick break before we let you go, Pat P. Got to talk about what's going on around the NFL. Around the league is next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pat P, if I was to ask you a question right now, the best team in the NFL is who?
49ers.
Facts. 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 49ers right now ain't playing no games. Yeah. 49ers right now, they're not playing any games. Clearly, Brock Purdy would not win the MVP because he would never put up the consistency of numbers that he needs to do because they are so balanced. But Brock Purdy is playing like one of the best quarterbacks in national football.
Yeah, that he is, yeah. But yeah, he won't.
Yeah, he won't win it. He'll probably be in the conversation, but yeah. It's just that
like you said, his numbers are crazy. He's putting the ball where it needs to go. I don't think he have a turnover yet. I mean, I'm telling you, that Kyle Shanahan system is very, very special.
But that play call. Did you see that? Did you see that Sunday night game against the Cowboys?
I watched it. I mean, hell, when it got 35-10, then that's when I hung it up. But yeah, I watched the game.
They got great quarterback play, great offensive line play, great running back play, great pass catching play, defensively on all three levels. They play sound football, physical. Yeah. It's like when you play against the 49ers or you watch them, you feel them. Like, it's not just they don't just drag down. I remember
Fred Warner.
No question. I remember at Florida State. Oh, yeah, Greenlaw and Fred Warner? No yeah. question. Great duo. But at Florida State, Mickey Andrews used to tell us all the time in practice, like, man, it sounds like we're playing naked. Like, ain't nobody got no pads on. We should never be on the football field and not hear no click-clacking. Like, I need to hear something. Like, why I don't hear nothing? Y'all tackling people and we don't hear nothing. That's not how the game's supposed to be, right? When they play, when the 49ers play, oh, you hearing it. You hearing
pads.
Yeah, they running into people. When they get that, boy, they got bad intentions. But I agree with you. 49ers, you know, they're the best team in football. Who would you say is number two?
Eagles.
I think so. I think right now in the NFC, you know, there are a lot of people.
NFC, yeah, just top, you know, top it.
But we all waiting to see.
Right now in the NFC, in my opinion.
Who would be that third team?
Well,
you would say.
You got three. Detroit.
You think I think Detroit is the third. I think they would beat the Cowboys right now, but I still think Detroit is not on the level of the Eagles.
No, they're not.
The 49ers.
They're not.
But I would say they're the third best team. Yeah, they're the third best team. Right now, it's like San Francisco will play. They will play San Francisco this season. They will play each other, but it's San Francisco and Philly. They will play Philly.
Okay.
This year in Philadelphia. But right now it's almost like that's the NFC Championship game that we're waiting for. In San Francisco right now, the way how they playing. You guys got an opportunity to see them firsthand. And everybody was like, well, what happened? No, they're like that.
I mean, I had an opportunity to see them since 2000, whenever Kyle Shanahan landed in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I had a great understanding of, you know, how the offense is ran, but it's easier said than trying to defend it, but they got some shit over there.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. The play calling, the personnel. Woo, that thing is really cooking. And Brock Purdy, boy, if it wasn't for Brock Purdy, Lynch and Shanahan would definitely be on the hot seat or overly criticized because of what happened with Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Should the brotherly shove, the tush push is what they call it, should that be banned, you think, Pat P? Should it be banned?
I mean, I don't think so.
Why not?
Because it's a football play. I mean, you see guys moving the pile all the time when a running back is in open field.
I think that should be banned also.
I think that should be banned for sure.
I think that should be banned also. That's a disadvantage to a defender.
It is. A disadvantage, but at the same time, if they're going to allow guys to continue to get rammed in their back when the running backs have
that should be,
or the offensive guy have a ball,
they should ban it.
Same exact play,
it is.
And the crazy thing about it, I sent that to the NFL because they always talk about, you know, player safety and defensive players are always the ones that's being targeted on stuff like this. But I'm like, how do you allow offensive linemen to run full speed when a defense have his back completely turned?
Yeah.
And you got a guy just coming, blowing him up in the back, pushing the pile.
That's not player safety at all.
That's not player safety.
No.
That should be a foul because that's a defenseless player, right or wrong.
I agree. I don't like that play. I feel like when the forward momentum is stopped,
it should be done.
Offensive player, blow the whistle. Don't allow offensive linemen just to run and push the pile. That's no different than having someone push Jalen Hurts from the back. You know what I mean? Come up behind him and push him. That's an advantage.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because my thing is this. If you don't allow someone to pull someone from the front to pull them to get extra yards, you shouldn't allow them to push from the back.
You can't allow nobody to push.
I agree. Quarterback sneaks. Go back to the old way. If you want to do a quarterback sneak, nobody should be pushing them from the back because I think that's a disadvantage in favor of an offensive player. As a defender, I'm trying to
think about this, Mac.
Yep.
Think about this. As a defensive player, we can't push on a field goal block. We can't push on a defender back to give him leverage.
Yep. You definitely can't. That's a good point. Because you guys can easily push the D tackles to help give them momentum and provide power.
We can't do that as a defensive
player. To run over the offensive lineman. So you're right. It's so one-sided. Man, listeners and viewers, let us know. Chime in. Should the tush push be banned? I think so. Now, granted, the Eagles do it better than any other team. I mean, the numbers say so. Jalen Hurts with the Eagles at 93% and converting. The rest of the NFL is 81%. You know what I mean? So the Eagles do it better than anybody.
They need to take out all extracurricular when it comes to moving the pile, because like I just hate how all these rules always come out for defensive players, but you never see anything. Like, prime example, they come out with this rule talking about lowering the crown.
Mm-hmm.
With running backs. Every single running back in the league, when they're about to get braced for a tackle, what they're doing?
Yeah. They're lowering
the crown of their helmet.
Yeah.
That never get called. Agreed. As a, like Minka got a penalty the other day against, not the other day, last a couple weeks ago against the Raiders.
Yeah, we hit
quarterback the quarterback ducking into the hit. Minka never ducked his helmet. He's running, so he can't put a bed down and lay him down and sack him. He's playing football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like you said, it's so one-sided, but I don't want to talk about the refs and stuff and get fined. But
yeah. It is, but it's one side. I think it should be banned. I think it should be banned. Good point in what you talked about, Ken, pushing the defenders and field goal block opportunity. So, you know, just because someone has a ball in their hand and they're running it, they shouldn't be getting extra momentum for pushes. Because when them offensive linemen be colliding, man, they come with a lot of force. And it's only a matter of time for someone get hurt that way. It's only a matter of time. Well, hey, Pat P, man, go ahead and enjoy the bye week. You know, rest up, get healthy, get well, study. Because like you said, when you guys jump back into the fold, it's a long haul. You're in it for the long haul. So there get ready to go, man, and do what you need to do. Go ahead and get this thing rolling and stay on top of the division, my guy.
Yes, sir. That's the goal, man.
Yes, sir. Well, as we always say, thank you for joining listeners, listening to us. Let us know about the tush push. Should it be banned? What are your expectations for the rest of the way for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Let us know how you feel. We love to read your comments in the comment section. And as we always tell you, see you when we see you. Peace.
Peace.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.